And we are live on New Earth Nation Radio. We are live on the mega station BBSRadio.com. This is Adventures into Law and Sovereignty with your host, Andrew Bartis, and my intrepid co-host, Rebecca Cope. Today we are joined by two amazing, amazing guests who are going to rock the show, Tamara and Deborah. Welcome to the show also.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me as well.
Thank you.
Yes.
Indeed. It's our honor for sure.
It's our honor to have you guys on one of these continuing radio shows. We are talking about law and sovereignty. We are also talking about, you know, the way people have to react to the real world here. So, Rebecca, I want to bring you in right away and bring the updates that we've got going right away, and then we're going to get into the meats and potatoes of an incredible show.
Yes, I'm so pleased to have Deborah Jones on with us tonight. I will tell you, first of all, that she is an ex-policewoman who has just a martial arts background, very interesting in her take on things, and also she is an ex-lawyer. So when we start talking about law and sovereignty and what we're going to do with the courts, she's got some very, very, very interesting information for us. And the most important thing that she has to say is stay out of the courts. She's going to be telling us how to do that, going to be giving some very definite strategies that she has found from her own background. And the first thing I'm going to do tonight is to update you on the Rod Class situation. Because those of you who have been following the Adventures into Sovereignty show since June know that we have been following this Rod Class DC gun case completely. And the tricks of the trade that we have documented in living color on this particular case will be enough to convince you that Deborah is very astute in her information. Just today, Rod has had another trick from the prosecutor. The prosecutor was supposed to file on judge's orders a ruling on his motion, 105 they called it, that had been filed way back in March. The prosecutor should have filed on it in March. He brought this up in the one of the last hearings in the 1st of September. And now he's coming back after the deadline asking for leave of court for one that he should have filed because they were trying to trick Rod into doing a plea bargain. So by the time we get through with all of this information, everybody is going to get a solid look into the level of corruption that is going on in the courts in America today. So that's going to be something that, you know, it's really going to be a lot of information that we'll be having for you as we get this posted in the coming weeks. So without further ado, let's invite Deborah to give just a little bit of your background, Deborah, and then let's go into discussing what you see as some of the ways that the people out there can deal with the level of corruption and the level of problems that we're having trying to live in America today within this court system. What can we do?
Well, great. Thank you again, everyone, for having me. And it's always a pleasure to share whatever experience that I can with others to educate them. So without further ado, I'd like to say that all that I'm attempting to do is show you the door. It's up to everyone to walk through that door. Just like Morpheus, all I'm offering is the truth. That's the red pill or the blue pill. It's up to you to determine where you want to go with it. So my education, my experience.
Deborah, sorry, one moment. Can you get a little bit closer? I'm sorry, go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. You're starting to, either your internal mic's having an issue hearing or you got to be a little bit closer.
Let's see.
That's it.
There you go. There you go.
Now you're just,
yeah.
And they have great love for me. So anytime they may interject, you know, they're going to show their love for me. So
that's right. Saying the blue pill or the red pill?
Red pill. All I'm going to do is show you the door, and it's up to you to walk through it. And that's essentially what I have come down to learn over the course of the years. I got into this because I lived in Washington, D.C. I was born and raised. Well, I was born there. And in fact, I lived right down the street from the White House. So we were in walking distance. So every day, I could walk up to the Capitol, White House, the monument very closely. My parents were in the government. Now, no one got into what they did for the government, but it was quite odd whatever it was they were doing for the government. And in particularly my mother, who really was, I would say, head into the government. So whatever she was working on, which I have to be that I of opinion now that she was working on an alien program. She was tied to that. Because much of when she came home to us, she would experiment it. And I happened to be her experimental baby. So whatever she saw or did or was exposed to, she felt the need to come and experiment on me. And so with that in mind, I thought, okay, well, what is this woman, who's this institution?
Hey, Deborah, we're having some issues with your mic again. Do you by any chance have a headset? It sounds like your internal mic is starting to cut out.
If you have a headset for your iPhone, Deborah, that'll work too.
Let me find it. That's not. Give me.
It's all right. We'll occupy. It's okay.
Let's see if this will work. Where's my other one? I have another one. I know that works. Excuse me.
And Tamara, while she does that,
sure.
Why don't you tell us just a little bit? You have just been studying with Deborah. Yeah. So give us just a little bit of an earful while we're waiting on Deborah to get settled there.
No problem. Can you hear me all right?
Yes. Yeah, you don't even have to. You can hold it down by your thing. It picks you up good.
Okay, excellent. Great. Prior to meeting Deborah, I started off on my adventures into sovereignty. I love that title, by the way. About 6 years ago, and I got on the train because of being sued by the SEC. And I quickly realized that after what they were going after me with, it was ridiculous. It was like they were just looking for something to find you with. So as I began my process of learning after 5 years, six years really of in learning, I met Deborah, and spending just 2 days with her opened up my eyes to so much more, because all of us get pieces of the puzzle. We don't get the inside information. And what's really important is to have it all fleshed out so that way you can see it for what it is. It's like what Heather is saying. All data makes the picture so much more different. So I actually got to sit with Deborah, and the amount of information, fleshing it all out to really see how they designed this whole system and then how you are to protect yourself. Because we're going to, until the shift happens, until we start turning to alternative systems that are complementary for all and equal for all, we're going to have to navigate within this or pull ourselves out and become hermits. I personally don't plan on becoming a hermit anytime soon. So I would really be able to like to navigate my way through this without being harmed. And that was the biggest selling point for me, was the fact that she is able to keep you out of the court. She's able to show you how to build your own trust that is based in its own jurisdiction. And I'm not going to steal her thunder, so I'm going to let her go into that a little bit more. The power of the notaries, the reason why we're finding ourselves being told time and time again that we are stuck in their jurisdiction, and that's literally because we are pushing around their licensed and patented creative work. So the point that she's really driving home here is that you have to be creative in your own work, and properly so, in the sense that the actual system can respond to you. So there's a lot more than I would like to let her go into, but the amount of information that I got from Deborah is enormous. So I sort of walked in knowing I was going to learn a lot. I had no idea the books and books and books of information I was going to get after it. Everything that she gives you, there's a manual to follow. Okay? That's the difference. There's a lot of people out there that have done a lot of great work, and there are a lot of people that have done a lot of great work and taken advantage of people by charging them a lot of money and ended up getting them in trouble. And as a result of that, you know, there's a lot of harvesting of energy.
Deborah, you got your headphones in?
Yeah, but I can't hear with my headset, so I'm trying to see if I need to change the software. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound way better now that you've got the other mic out of place. It was the other mic was having issues.
Oh, okay, well, if you can hear me, that's fine. I have no idea what I did.
It's the gremlins.
Okay.
Technology, I don't know what to say about it.
Exactly. So Tamara was telling us about the trust stuff that you were teaching with her.
Oops. Oh, hang on. Can you hear me?
Yep, you sound good.
Okay. All right. So
there you are.
Differently. Okay.
Yeah. All right, Miss Deborah, have at it now. We're just really, really anxious to hear what you're going to tell us as far as how we do stay out of the court. So, you know, just carry on where you were there.
Okay, just tell me what the sound level is okay?
You sound perfect.
Yes. Great. As Tiger just said, great!
There you go.
So anyways, what I wanted to get into, because I know we don't have much time, because now we're down to 45 minutes, so I really need to hit hard, fast, and heavy with you guys. So, now I got feedback. I don't know what to do. Anyways, I'm going to go on. So, I got into this whole the problem because I wanted to see what my mother was involved with, and I realized that it was, at the time, they called themselves government, federal government. So, what I wanted to do was I needed to get inside. So, I decided that I was going to be a good little girl and do the things that required me to get inside, because when I got into martial arts, it talks about defeating the enemy, and you can only defeat the enemy from within to without. So by me coming in and being a police officer, I realized then that, oh my God, this is not anything that I thought it was to be. And so when I came in as a police officer, that was the first eye-awakening for me, was that the oath that police officer took was to the fraternal order first, and then secondly, secondary to the Constitution. This is why they don't have an allegiance to the Constitution, because in their eyesight, in their theory, first in line is first in time. And because of that, your allegiance is to the first oath, not to the second or third, to the first. But, however, I forgot about that because I didn't think there was any significance into that until within the last 15 years that I hear the sovereign movement talk about the oath, the oath, the oath, and I'm thinking, what the heck is all of that they're talking about here? So, but back then, it was, none of us thought any relevance to it, and it was discarded. And so we proceeded on, and so as I got through the police department, there was so much that was going on, I didn't want to be a part of it. So eventually I ended up leaving the police department because I saw much of the fraud that took place. But prior to me leaving, I decided to opt in and going to, you know, school to become an attorney. And so while you're going to school for the related subject, the police department to pick it up, so I figured, let me take advantage of that. But and so I got started in that, but I couldn't hang in there for very much longer because there was just I was getting too deep into what it was that I didn't want to be a part of anymore. And I figure out that I'd assessed in a plan and how that I could basically accomplish what I need to accomplish, you know, focus on that goal, stay true to that goal, and come out with a sound resolution that I can help the mass people to overcome. So there was a lot of painstaking efforts and painstaking sacrifices I had to do in the interim of doing all of that. Okay, but I also had to make sure that I didn't lose my life. Hopefully I didn't lose my life in the process of doing all of that. So, and this was where the martial arts came in for, because when I got into the police department, my martial law instructor said, I don't know why you feel the need to get into this police department. There's no need for to do that. But whatever you do, don't fire a single shot. So I said, okay, well, in order for me to do that, you need to teach me how to be the baddest woman on the block. That's just it. There's no way that I can come in and take out a suspect without taking him down, you know, hand to hand. So he says, I'll teach you that. But whatever you do, do not get drawn in into something that is not of your nature. Oh, at the time, I didn't know what that was until much later on. Then I realized he's talking about being drawn into someone else's fight, to someone else's being a bully or bodyguard for someone else, and you don't approve of their tactics. So that's what the police department is. Police department is protecting the fraternal order. That is their order. That's what they do. Another name that you can call it is, you know, enforcing policies for the corporation. So there's really not much validity there. So
protecting the fiefdom.
Sorry?
Protecting the fiefdom, which is headed up by the judges, the mayors, the city councils, and so on and so forth, all who have their own heraldry as lord or baron of this neighborhood or that neighborhood.
Yeah, precisely. So what I thought I was doing was protecting the people, and you're right, but instead it was protecting the order. I call it the order. It's a fraternal order, yep. Because you took an oath, or should I say we took an oath.
To a corporate flag, correct? At that time you took the oath, was it a corporate flag?
No.
You aren't aware?
No. It was to a fraternal order.
But there was a flag there.
Well, yeah, you can say that flag, but I call it, just like when college students go to, they enrolled into a fraternal order or an organization.
That's right.
And that's just basically what the police department or law enforcement or any agency for that matter.
Another way to take your signature and to monetize it.
Yeah, correct him. Yeah. So, anyways, I used that as a stepping stone for me to get ahead what I needed to do to accomplish, to define what was this organization that my mother was part of, or better yet, most of my parents at the time. More, you know, was more, my mother seemed to be more strung out on this organization than my father were. So that's what led me to keep focus. Anyhow, the point of it that I wanted to say was I needed to get in and to find out what this whole system was about so that I can educate people, should I be alive, to educate them, to tell them how to defeat this system. And it's not so much about defeating it. It's just how to exit the matrix and what was it all about and how did it ensnare us all. So that was my motivation, and I stuck with that plan. I had a lot of deviation. I had a lot of distraction. But I ultimately stayed on course. So I got into the police department, you know, became an attorney, and I did those things, and I got out. And in the process, I was being groomed to be a congressman, a congressional member, or Senate, or better yet, the President of the United States. I thought that was a tall order at the time. But because of my ability to learn and to adequately I was very good at reading and comprehending things. So they wanted me to be a constitutional attorney. They said that I would have been one of the best that this country would have ever seen. I got on the legislative board of Senator Moynihan. And when I was able to do that, I was able to accompany him every so often to Washington, D.C. It is when I got the firsthand look about how they really do business in Washington, D.C. inside. And when I saw how they really did business, I thought, oh, my God. Oh, this is not what I really signed up for at all. And so I really don't want to be part of this. But I also have to play my cards, okay? So I don't want to be a part of this for indefinite. I certainly don't want to get a snail for the rest of my entirety. So what is my advantages here, and how can I keep my eye on a prize and save my sanity? So I had to do a lot of things, and martial art was the epitome for me, to keep me grounded and to keep me more informed and to remind me why I was doing all of this for the very reason that I am here today. So that was the catalyst for me. And what martial arts taught me to do throughout the whole course was, if you are surrounded by enemies, you look at the biggest player, you look at the biggest opponent, you take that out, the rest will fall. And so in order to do that, you have to be equipped with all the abilities to do that. You just didn't come into this game haphazardly. You have to have all the skills, the ability, and the talents to take out the biggest opponent in that you're surrounded by. And that's what I learned to do. And it's with that token that allows the use that I utilize throughout my entire life, even to this day. And that's what has saved me. That was the saving grace for me. And so now that I got out, I did a lot of research on my own, due diligence, and I've gone into court. And when I learned about how the court was really operating, I decided, okay, well, I'm going to have a little fun with this, because at the end of the day, I know that I was going to come out of the system and I was going to teach other people how the system actually lures you. And first and foremost, let's get into some of the components of that. The components were, they got into words. Words is an important ingredient for these powers to be. It is the weapon. It's like a battering ram for them. And if you can't understand words, you are lost, because words is everything. And if you're not educated, and if you are just a slave, well, you're going to continue to be a slave. And so they found that the words was the greatest weapons than firing a single shot. And so they got into various, you've got legalese, which is pertaining to any measures pertaining to going into the courts. Then you have the academics that we was taught when we went through their full school system. And then, of course, now that I'm teaching in my class, I'm teaching people about there's a third language that no one ever knew that exists. It's called the style manual. Style manual has something entirely different than they taught any of us in their academic schools. So you said, okay, wait, hang on a minute. What do you mean by the style manual? It has another language in of itself. Not to mention that they taught us in their school full system that there's an alphabet from A to Z. Well, I got something to tell you here, that's only 26 alphabet, but there's total of 52 alphabets in the language. So we're all speaking a half language. You're not even speaking, you're only speaking half truth, if that's what you want to say, if this is how you choose to look at it. And so when you get into, my God, I'm speaking half a language. No wonder there's not enough words to describe what's really going on in our lives. And this is what they have done. So what they have done was they have made this such an interwoven that no one person can figure this thing out. And that was done all intentionally. So they use words in a means of luring people, deceiving people without full disclosure. And so in the case that people don't know, let's get into how they've done that. So the corporation that they created through the Vatican, this planet is run by, first and foremost, let's be very clear about how this planet operates. Nothing moves on this planet without a contract. First rule number one. Everyone needs to write that down, because everything that we do is contractual.
On all layers of existence.
And everything that you do. If I wink my left eye, you should wink your left eye as if we're in an agreement. Okay? If I extend my left hand, you extend your left hand. These are what we call maxims of law of like kindness. Because what they have incorporated was five little words. It's called disparate non debent jange. Dissimilar things are not to be joined. That means flesh versus paper. So that makes to say flesh can only be attracted to flesh, paper to paper, and not paper to flesh. And most people go, what the hell is that?
And definitely not blood to paper. Mr. Vatican, we see you.
Well, the thing here is that they tricked everybody by tricking them into flesh and paper. See, when they created the corporation through the Vatican, because the Vatican said that anything on this planet was a contract. So what the Vatican then done was, once they made everything contractual, they placed everything over a trust. So a huge magnetic trust has been created on this planet. There's thousands upon thousands of different variations of trust. I'm sure some of you who's been following this may be aware of it or not. And I will say that just to cover for those that might be listening for the first time. Okay, so the sequence of trust has been, sequence of trust via has been created. And from that, That in and of itself is a corporation. So now coming home here to America, they decided that the corporation is what you are. So they remove you from being a living, breathing male and female, and they decided to make a duplicate of you and call it a corporation, but in the case of a trust. And what America was talking about when we mentioned about you're pushing around their documents. So from this standpoint of things, you are a corporation. Your name is spelled in all uppercase. And because of that, you are a slave. You are their property. And so any taxes that is due, you must pay. Now, before all of you set your hair on fire, let me tell you why you are obligated to pay your taxes and to dance to their tune. Because see, everything that you claim that you think you have is in fact theirs. And all you have to do, you don't need to take my word for it, just look at all everything that you have that you claim is yours, which is your Social Security, any type of material wealth that you have, whether it be a car, a home, a boat, or a townhouse, or...
And anything you've created with those documents.
Anything you created with that is theirs. You've been pushing around their document because they filed for bankruptcy in 1933.
So can we tell them to go send a tow truck and get these documents out of here?
Repeat that again?
Can we tell them to come get a tow truck and get these documents out of here that's not us?
Well, I can help you how to get out of the matrix. See, that's where I get to come in and tell you. I can show you the door. It's up to you to walk through the door. I can only show you the door and what's inside the other room. Well, okay, that's where I can guide
that's
you.
That's where we're going to go.
Yeah, that's where we're going to go. I can only offer you. But getting back to that, so what they've done is because you're none the wiser and you are incompetent and you're ward of the state, and oh, by the way, you are enemy combatant, then therefore we're on a battlefield, so they're telling you you're a prisoner of war, so we don't have to tell what we owe of you. We don't have to disclose to you what we have of yours and what is of yours. You have to figure that out for yourself. But in the meanwhile, you're a prisoner of war. So while you want to get along in commerce, you're pushing around all their things in their name, claiming that that is yours. So naturally, when you get pulled over, they want to give you a speeding ticket. They want to charge you for a violation. What they have attempted to do, what they have done, was done a switch and bait here. They created a sesequicidal trust. And then you just presuming to know that you are a beneficiary. But they declare bankruptcy, so they have an inability to pay their debt. They went into receivership. But before going into receivership, they created a bogus trust to offset the debt, naming you. Now you're held with the liability of being owner because they trick you into announcing that 9/10 is possession. Well, the power that you want to be is 1/10. You want title. You don't want possession. Because with possession, they use the fear of loss to come and take. So in other words, you have to perform whatever performance that they ask of you to do because you're in possession of their possessions, none the wiser. All right. So when it comes time to paperwork, because they have created what they call disparata non debente jande going on, which is dissimilar things ought not to be joined, which is flesh and blood, you aren't aware that there should be a transmitted utility between you and interacting with them. And they trick you into defaulting you and to accepting their 14th Amendment conditioning, okay, by tricking you to tell you that we're going to give you little pittance of this and little pittance of that. And everybody went along with the program without protesting. Now, the trick how they began to foment this plan started in 1933 when they said all persons. At the time, because of the educational full school system, they were under the impression based on presumption and assumption and what that was taught to them, a person meant you and me. But in their legalese world, a cup of coffee, a broom, a dustpan was a person. So when they said all person turn in their gold, everyone turned in their gold. But the persons that they were actually referring to was businesses. Everyone who went to the state and applied for a CS corporation or LLC or any type of entity under their authorization by registering, that's who they were referring to. Because at that time, their corporate directors, which is the Constitution, didn't apply to you or me. But we, none the wiser, didn't know that. So when they realized that everybody turned in their gold, they thought, oh, this, my God, this worked better than we anticipated. We had no idea that everybody was incompetent here. So this is where they went with along with the plan. Of course, it started much sooner than Abraham Lincoln, but I'm just talking about from the point of the bankruptcy, because this is how they created all of us into Sesequisa via trust, was based on that year. And this is how they have made us all collateral for that debt that none of us took part into. Okay. My classes will show you that technically, when this is all said and done, how the IRS will be your come best friend. You see, right now, everyone thinks that we're enemies, and which we are, on paper. It gets back into status and standing. When I was going through this system, I had no idea how we all became slaves. And they used various different multifacets to do that. And creating us in all uppercase name and pushing around their documents was how they was able to do that. Now, because they had disparate and non-debent John Day, dissimilar things ought not to be joined, they got into verbal communication, because had you been had the ability, when they put everything on paper, you could see the fraud. And because they knew that, give you an example, my name, Deborah, if I spelled an all uppercase name, automatically I would reject it and say, hey, that's not how I spell my name. I don't recognize that all. So what they had to do was trick you into verbal communication to bypass your eyes so that you get into the listening mode, because theirs is where you start to hear things. Okay, now that takes me to the next point. They call Indian sonus, identical sound. So when you pronounce the name Deborah, when pronouncing my name, it sounds one and the same, but it is not. I have been trained to listen to how they really pronounce my sound, pronounce my name in court, but none the wiser, you don't know. So what they've done was got everybody to get into verbal communication, because there was a breach of contractual agreement and they were already an adhesive contract. And so they knew that if you saw anything on paper, you could see the fraud. So they have to divert your attention from reading to listening. And listening is a very clever way, because if you get into Styles Manual, and I want everybody to go home and you can go to Google and just pick any country, any state. You can pick the state of California and put in California Styles Manual, and that will come up for you. You can put in the United States Styles Manual, and that will come up for you. And long behold, you'll start to read and go, wait a minute, what the heck is this? Wait a minute, this is a different interpretation from what we all have been learned. Quite differently from the legalese and quite what we taught from the academic schools, and go, wait a minute, you mean there's a third language here? And we're none the wiser. So they continue to ferment this plan so that one would never discover that. So they have created layers and layers. It's like an onion. They have created so much layers of this. So it's if you come across one and uncover it another, then you still have to continue to put forth the effort to discover the second layer, or the third layer, or the fourth layer, or whatever the layers it is. And the courts play their role. So what had to happen when the Vatican created the Sesequicel Trust, What he brought with them was the laws of the seven seas onto dry land. Everything around you, everything to this day, is based on admiralty. I don't care what you're doing, what they're telling you, it's lies. Because right now, everything is based on maritime admiralty. And because it's maritime admiralty, you don't know what you don't know because you don't know that you don't know it. And that is when you start to interact with the public, because they are public and you're supposed to be private and a sovereign individual, we have flesh and paper going on here. So I'm going to jump right into the court system because people need to understand why the courts is not working for you. For that matter, any of their agencies are not working for us. Because
Deborah, let me just interject here that we are absolutely going to be able to prove exactly what you're saying so that people out there who are saying, oh, come on now, this is just so over my head. Don't tell me all this stuff about the courts. I don't want to believe this. Our government wouldn't do this to us. I've had people say that to me. So what we have done with this D.C. court case is to be able to go in there and really see the level of fraud and the tricks of the trade and the way they use the definitions out of the statutes and codes. All of the things we are going to be able to bring in black and white so that people will be able to see this for themselves and be able to understand exactly what you're talking about and get a much better handle on what is going on. So, you know, this is just what we're all having to pay attention to and really learn. You know, we're having to say, okay, this is what's really going on here. So, all right, I just wanted to interject that so that we will be able to do that in a way that people will understand. So, all right, finish talking about the courts. This has been very, very, very worthwhile explanation. Thank you.
Okay, great. All right, so now that we know that we're all corporation and we are pushing around their papers, and so everything that you think is yours is theirs in all actuality. That's why they can pull you over. That's why they can entrap you. They can do whatever they want because you're the creator, their creation. You are of their creation, and we all know that God of creation, so we all believe into a higher source, and we all believe that there's one single source that is the creator of all creation. So therefore, we're of that creation. So they have the same input in their mind. So the court system came about because when you have corporation, you have to have an organizing structure. So it was created by three different versions: corporation, a trust, and a baptism, okay, which is where the religion comes in. All right. So the attorneys, or should I say the Bar Association, is the trustees over Americans. And the courts administer those trusts. Okay. So when you go into that arena, and I say arena, first and foremost, because you're an enemy of the state, because they are military, maritime, okay, the vessel is in a dock, which is the land. They have an anchor. So when you step onto that ship, you are in a different territory. You're not on the soil for which you have stepped onto. You're in a new territory. But you, none the wiser, don't know. Okay? They created a jurisdiction. What they did was the Vatican, in order to bring the laws of the seven seas onto the land, and to recognize friendly vessels, there was three things that he had. There was implementation. You needed a flag. You needed a vessel that is spelled in all uppercase with a name, and you had to have 9 to 12 digits numbers so that they can see it from a distance. The Vatican and the Rome needed to communicate on the waters because the Athens used to have to go around to meet with the Vaticans, and they said this is long, arduous travel. We need to find a shorter version how to get to you directly. They came with the idea, okay, if you come up on the waters, we need to have the ability to see one another from a distance. And how might we do that? Well, we must have a flag. And this is why wherever you go in America or anywhere around the world, And in their buildings, they have what in front of it? A flag. Because they're telling you something, that they're, what type of jurisdiction or territory you're on. Secondly, ship, which is a vessel, had to have a flag. And then with it, from a distance, you had to have binoculars so you could see from a distance the name spelled in all uppercase. That's hence why the uppercase name. And then thirdly, on the bow, they have to have ability to see those numbers. When they have three identifying mark that was an agreed to upon the treaty, they knew that was a friendly vessel and that everybody that signed that treaty agreed to be a friendly vessel based on those three identifying marks. So when they brought the lion, when they brought the law of the seven seas onto the land, this is how they fermented this plan. So when you went into the court system and however they defined you, you being an enemy or a friendly vessel, they created that with you as well. Okay? So let's break it down individually. You as a person, you had to have three identifying marks. We already know your social security number is the number. We already know that also by you having a driver's license of the particular state that you're from, that's your flag. And then, of course, your ID will identify you in uppercase. That assures them. But at the same time, you're also pushing around their sesquicentennial trust because you are of their creation. You have none of your stuff in their records. Okay, so when you go into the courts and the courts is fully aware that they are maritime, they're not operating on the soil of America as you think they are. They're operating on the jurisdiction of the British, the Vatican. Their flag was flying outside of their building. You decide to enter into their jurisdiction, which you should have never done in the first place. Okay, so now you've come onto their vessel. You're a stowaway. You don't have proper paperwork, because if you did, you might know that you shouldn't have been there in the first place. Okay, but they're going to let you go ahead because they had some other workings that didn't complete their project, so they have to make this look legitimate. They tell you the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and they were all nothing but corporate directive for them. Had nothing to do with you. But you took it as to be your own. Oh, I'm protected by the Constitution. Oh, really? And they're laughing at you. Okay, so now you go into their court system. Well, you didn't have the style manual. A style manual is an instruction. So when you buy a product from the store, it has an instructions to it. But you went into their court system where you didn't have the style manual, so you didn't know how to really properly communicate with them. So now you're going there and you're arguing a case that you believe that has some validity. Well, they're looking at you, and they've already decided the case for the number of cases. That's why when you go into the court system, they give you a court date, and it's like 30 days out or 45 days out, because they're sitting in there. They're sitting with the probation, the department of probation, with the DA, and with the clerk, and deciding which case they're going to let win. They've already decided long before you came there. They have to make this thing look legit. After all, there would be a treasonous act because of what they did in 1933.
Let's clear it up. They decide cases long before your case comes in.
Yes.
And we have said this time and time again.
Yep.
Now, this is someone from the inside, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Circus America has something under its little underbelly here. They decide your court cases long before you get in. How much money your signature still has left on it, correct?
Yep, absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah, 97% of the court cases are decided in favor of guess who? 3% win. That is exactly right. And those are the numbers. We aren't making any of this up. Those are the numbers. 97% are railroaded into jail or into ridiculous probationary clauses, all kinds of things. And they say that it is because we have agreed to the plea bargains. We agree by our silence or by just carrying on with everything they're doing. So let's be real clear about that.
tacit consent, the name of the game. Yep. And every moment you do not see the obvious that is their territory, you're making contracts with them. And, you know, it is a giant scam, a giant fraud that's going to need a whole new way to describe what it is. A Ponzi scheme ain't got nothing on what this world's got so far.
Nope, afraid not. All right, Deborah, carry on.
Well, there's multiple things that's going on in the courts. There's multiple things that's going on when they get into that vessels. First and foremost, let me tell you what the judge is. A judge is, he's first and foremost a landlord. Well, okay, let me say one. He's a trustee. He's your landlord. He's a priest. And he's a banker. That's what the judge is. So he can take on any of those roles at any given point.
He's not a baker and a candlestick maker either?
He could be a pole dancer if you like.
That's the Operation Spinwide. Yeah, Operation Pole Dance for all the judges out there.
So, anyways, it all depends on his mood and the particular case. Here's the problem with everyone. Everyone says, well, I'm sovereign, I'm this and I'm that. Well, because first and foremost, I got to jump ahead really quickly here because, you know, we're coming up on the final hour here.
We can go overtime, so you can just, it's all right if you'd like to stick around.
Yeah, I can stick around. You have no idea. I can do this until wee hours. I can do this until next week. You have no idea out of this head. So it needs to come out. So anyways, yes. So the state says they're sovereign. People are being railroaded. They're being hijacked outside. Pirates are coming in. They're coming in for war prizes. And they all agree that we're going to share this war prizes, okay? And so we agree that there's 12 of us. So if there's 12 slices, each of us get a slice. Now, once one of us take two slices, then we have a problem with number 12. And the 11 of us will oversee and take that, and we will correct that. Okay? So you can do a balancing act, but it's a way that you need to understand how to do this balancing act. Now, you're going into their territory. You're off the shore. You're no longer on your shore. You're none the wiser. You don't know that you enter a different jurisdiction altogether. So when you go there and argue a case that is irrelevant to it, no fact or truth cannot be tried in a court of law. You go there and you says, well, I wasn't stopping. I mean, I was stopped at the stoplight. How did he know me? He was across the way. Oh, controversy. Controversy will trump any time because controversy overthrow any jurisdictional claim that you have. Why? You came in as an enemy combatant. You are foreign on their jurisdiction. It's like equivalent to me as an American going into Panama. And they're listening to me and tout about all about American laws and how great and how wonderful things are. And they're turning to me and saying, I'm sorry. Did anybody inform you? You're in Panama. That's what you're doing when you go into that building that you believe is a court.
No habla inglés.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you say I was in Panama?
Exactly.
I was on a vessel. It had an American flag on it. What are you telling me?
When did I come into this other flag?
Yeah,
why are all these bar lawyers here, you know, United Kingdom lawyers here, trying me in my own country? Why does your flag have a maritime flag and a pirate flag right next to it?
Well, the judges... I have asked judges on many occasions myself. I said, they say to me, when they sentence people to go to jail, prison, I have asked judges, I have bailiffs, how's that possible? Okay. They tell me, they says, Deborah, when people come into this vessel, what's sitting behind us? I go, yeah, there's two flags. So if you're none the wiser, you don't know that you're in enemy camp. You should recognize your enemy at any distance. After all, they formulated this plan. So one is an infringed flag. The other one is a military flag. So technically, you came in a tribunal. So you are an enemy on an enemy vessel.
And the Libra Code has never been restricted here.
Right. And so if everybody goes back to the Caribbean The Pirates of the Caribbean, when the young lady wanted to meet with the Papa after their ship was taken over, and she went on their ship to call herself negotiating with her, and when she went to turn and leave, they said, oh, I'm sorry, you can't leave. She goes, what do you mean? Well, you're prisoner of war. Well, she went and negotiated on their territory, on their terms. You can't do that.
That should have told you a lot right there in that movie, right?
Yeah, oh, very much so. They put that out for you to learn it. After all, let me also tell you another clue they did. 1933, when they bankrupt America, or, you know, took the gold, they came out with the Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
3 months later.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was their way of telling you there's a remedy in their record.
That's right.
They put the Wizard of Oz out for you to learn and figure out this plan. Yeah. Everything they have done, they put you on notice by putting either billboards or the celebrities, or, you know, dancing it out on a stage,
yeah,
or movies or documentaries. But they put you on notice before they, you know, before they become, before they enact, before they do whatever they do to harm you.
Yeah.
And you're none the wiser, didn't pick up on these clues. So when you go into their jurisdiction, because they have a dissimilar things ought not to be joined, you don't know that when you went into their vessel, you shouldn't have gone there with one of their bar members, but you should have gone with a notary. Now, here's where the importance of a notary is. Because you claim you're sovereign and don't understand what your grounds are, your jurisdiction, first and foremost, if you are sovereign, no one can lord over you. That's the biggest mistake. You let someone else take command over your ship. Anything, any word that has a ship at the end of it, friendship, love ship, whatever ship on the end of it, is telling you we are all in maritime. The laws of the seven seas are on the land. Perhaps you might get familiar with how it operates. That makes it say that the Coast Guards is actually, in fact, law enforcement on the soil of America, and most people don't know that. Most people also don't know that the Coast Guard is under the directive of the Homeland Security today. How is that possible? Because the laws of the seven seas has been brought here on land, and you've done the wise and don't even know that. So what everybody has to do is get familiar with Title IV, which is the flag. You must know your jurisdiction, where you are, your territory. Your flag is your indication. Now, I'm going to say a lot of things. I'm just going to speed ahead and jump forward. Okay.
Yes, go for it.
When you go into the court, first and foremost, they're an illusion. You are real. They can't interact with you. So by you coming forward, standing in person in front of them, they see a ghost. This is why people said, Deb, the judge told me to shut up. I said, yeah, rightfully so. Cool. Are you taking their side? Let me explain something before you put the fire in your hair. Look, you were a ghost to them because technically we have a dissimilar things. Flesh and paper cannot mix. What should have been happening, this is why, if you notice, everything about them is on paper. Everything they do is on paper. They give you tickets with the paper. Their president signs something, it's on paper. It's handed to another, it's on paper. Anything they say is on paper. Hell, even when they talk before the cameras, it's a script. Everything is done with paper. They're telling you they're fiction. This is Washington, D.C. It's a piece of paper filed on somebody's shelf. You come along actively, and you made it active. This can't do anything unless you do something with it. So if I turn a piece of paper and said, dance for me, I need you to dance for me, you think that paper is going to get up and dance for me? I would like to see that. Unfortunately, it won't. So what Deborah has to do is go pick up and make the paper dance for her. I made it come alive because I'm the living. I interacted. I became the agent. Everything on what you're doing is an agent of their stuff. And because it's their stuff and you're none the wiser, you're going there and tell them that how dare you. You're not going to participate. You're not going to perform. You're not going to pay the taxes. You are a corporation. You are rightfully, the taxes applies to corporation. It's a lawful tax, people. And you don't know it. So people say, well, I'm a secure party creditor. Are you a secure party creditor using their name still? Yes. You still
creating, you're pushing around their stuff, and now you're committing fraud by saying that you secured it, you stole it. Can't do that, folks. Can't do that. This is why the court's operating the way it is, because you're none the wiser. You are an orphan. You are stowaway. You are incompetent, and you're an enemy. You've got multiple things against you, and you're going there trying to plead before them. They are a fiction, and you claim in your life. They should not be interacting with you. Ghost is not supposed to be talking. You shouldn't have been showing up in the first place. And because you did that, whatever laws you think applies to them suddenly don't. Because you have a breach of a contract, you're the breaching party, not them. You didn't learn who your enemy were, or at least you forgot. When you enter into a game, it's like you went onto a battlefield not knowing the weapons that you need, the armor, and how to protect yourself against a battlefield of or warriors. You just went on a battlefield and says, okay, well, this is love and peace, and I'm going to win this. I'm sorry. That's not how things work around here. It's just like to say, well, I want to be a boxer, and I want to get in a ring with Muhammad Ali, and I can kick the crap out of him because I'm conditioned the best to your ability. There is a protocol about being the top best athlete, and you got to follow that protocol, and if you don't, you get the crap beat out of you. And this is what's happening. So people are going into that jurisdiction that shouldn't be there. When you realize you are, there is two games on the same game board. That's chess and checkers. They're playing chess and you're playing checkers. This is why there is a mixture, and that's why you don't have any wins in there. Because they're running what five words. It's called dissimilar things are not to be joined. That means disparate and non-debent joined day. You are flesh interacting with dead. Why are you messing around with dead people? Why are you playing around with dead? Is everybody around you dead? Of course not. They are fiction and you are alive. They're public and you're private. Your affairs should have been handled accordingly. And because you're none the wiser, you didn't know. How you should have gone into the court was using a notary. The notary is a third party interceptor. It is a transmitting utility. If you notice about that government and everything about their county, their municipalities, they use a third party transmitting utility. It's done for a reason. They cannot interact with you. This is why no one, they give spattering wins. That's about it. But all cases are decided long before you get there. They have to make this thing look as real, or otherwise all of them would be under a treasonous act. And every judge and every law enforcement and any other agency would be hung for that. They had to make this thing look legitimate until the people open their eyes and become awakened. And people like me, who was the inside, come out and start showing and sharing with you how this really works. You can't defeat them from the outside. You have to be on the inside to tell how this really works. No one on the outside could never tell you how this whole system works. It's just the same way in a war. The way that you defeat your enemy is infiltration from the inside out. That's what I've done. This is where I am. Because of it, I know that if I want to put down or exit whatever they have presented to us, I needed to be on the inside. Because what I saw, what my mother was doing to me, and the many things that I've seen over the years, what they're involved with, you have no idea what I've seen. But I can tell you one thing, it ain't nothing pretty nice. The thugs that they claim that you are, just turn the reflection around. Who are they really?
The costume villains are the ones wearing the robes and the ones that are the prosecutor and the police who are there to rob you that day for your money if you're in there for a traffic violation and you agreed to their rules because there's no injured party there. You're an enemy of the state, an enemy of the state that they've given a traffic ticket to because you have privileges to drive on their roads that are federally funded that they're double dipping into. They're breaking the rules numerous ways, but just as Deborah was saying, they've changed the language in such a way they've dumbed us down, dumbed our understandings down, where we are not grandmasters of the obvious. And that is something that a lot of people must begin to adhere to in philosophy, in law, in sovereignty. You must become a grandmaster of the obvious of what's being told to you in the environment, in the personalities interacting with you, and the language in which they're using.
Okay. And the most important thing that we're doing with these Adventures into Sovereignty shows is to bring this information to you and then help you through it so that you can begin to not only understand it, but to find our way out of it. That is what we talk about. When we talk about Adventures into Sovereignty, we're talking about finding our way out of the matrix into that place where we're not into slavehood anymore. So, Deborah, excellent explanation. It's really good, and a lot of people have not heard this depth of information. So keep going, please.
Okay, great. So when you go into the court system, you first and foremost, you shouldn't be there. I know quite a few acquaintances and associates and colleagues that have done the proper status and standing. Because if you are sovereign as you claim you are, you shouldn't be going there at all. And how you need to handle your case should have been through administrative remedy. Now, let me tell you, when you go into their court system and you access their court system, do you know that you're obligated to pay taxes for accessing that private association? Of course you didn't know that. Of course you didn't know that. This is why you pay taxes. You are a corporation. You attempted to benefit from something. But let me explain to you something that they deceive you without full disclosure. They didn't give you the full disclosure. You are a corporation accessing a corporation. Okay? So you go in there. The courts is all about profit. After all, they're supposedly being getting paid by the state, or if it's a state court, by the state, or if it's a federal court, by the federal government. Or they're what they call themselves, federal government. It's all a private organization anyways. All right. So when you go there, you're going there, quote unquote, re-representing yourself, or when you hire a bar member, you should have brought a notary in there with you. The notary is the transmutability and utility between you because she's a neutral party that we all agreed. Let me share something with you. There is one country on this entire planet that's never been bombed. That's Switzerland. Every country on this planet have agreed to make Switzerland a neutral ground. Your notary has more powers than any notary know that they have. They have enough power to overrule any court. They can have their own court. A notary, when she stepped foot on the first steps of what they call the court, they become an officer of that court. Okay? They are now the eyes and ears of the Attorney General of the state. They don't work for the court. They are the eyes and ears of the Attorney General. They're an officer of the court, and they are a witness on the behalf of the state attorney general for any document. They can authenticate any document that is put before them. That includes any security and bonds. Now, when students take my class, I give them a manual of notaries. And when you read it, you can see that all these abilities was given to a notary. They subsequently have, you know, reversed their power, allowing them to be dumbed down. But the notary has more power than in her pinky than any other on her hand. And they don't know it.
Notaries confirm tribunals.
Yes.
We've talked about this with Rod Class also, as well as minors are able to form tribunals also, minor courts also. And the people that are working with the gold mines have extreme amounts of power when they're dealing with their different tribunals and signature holders.
That's for any community that has chosen to be sovereign and doesn't need the governing body of the public. The tribals, let's say for the Mormons, and you've got what's that other group? The Amish. Everybody talks about the Amish. All these people, nobody's just trampling onto their territories at all, because they're self-governing, because they have demonstrated that we are governing, we govern ourselves. We don't need any outsider coming in dictating to us what we need to do. You have the ability to do that. And notaries, for those of you who are operating in commerce, can utilize a notary to overthrow any court decision that is disagreeable. That's what they are there to do. Three or more notary can have a court, and it's just as powerful as you going into any district court, but people, they aren't aware of that. But that's their power, okay? Here's another reason why evidence are not admitted into the court. The judges have a discretionary, which calls exclusionary ruling. Now, they can exclude any evidence in court except for the fact that if the party knew to go in there with a notary, you can say, could you give this to the judge? The notary can then take that and put it into the record or receive it into the record of the court. That removes the judge exclusionary ruling.
Because he cannot interact with you in any way, shape, or form.
No, the notary.
He can't act with you. That's why you need to
remit any evidence that was submitted into the court with his own officer of the court.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls that are wanting to know why your paperwork gets rejected frequently, we
Not
are missing
paperwork,
something there.
Evidence.
Evidence, paperwork, everything.
Yes, all of it.
Which includes the clerk of courts, for so many people have such issues with the corrupt clerks of courts.
See, when you went and did your filings, should have been done through a notary. So any times that you want any of your paperwork to be recorded, utilize a notary. She has to be your intermediary, both for recording any documents, both for filing any pleadings, as well as when you go to court, she's to be there to hand the document between you and her and them and to the court, which is the clerk of the court, who is the real administrator in the court system, not the judge. The judge is nothing more than a referee. Who rules in that court is the clerk. Now understand, because you're none the wiser, you don't know the layout of the court, then figure out who the players are. So now, when you come to court, if you need to go into the place, you did not properly identify yourself. That's step number one. You gave them jurisdiction when they said, okay, State of California versus Rebecca. Rebecca goes, I am. What Rebecca should have said was, waited until she didn't identify, because, see, they use Rebecca. They said her name in all uppercase. It has a distinct hearing, a tone to it. Rebecca answered because they did an enium sonorous, identical sound. So she says, well, it sounds like my name when you pronounce it. So she responded. What they was pronouncing was the agent. Well, I'm sorry, the corporate Rebecca, not the living Rebecca. And Rebecca responded without properly identifying herself on a foreign vessel. What Rebecca should have said was, I'm an agent responding on behalf of the Rebecca. I am the agent for the corporate fiction entity Rebecca that you are now calling. I'm here on a restricted appearance because I wanted to settle this matter, because I was summoned here, and I'm here to resolve the issue on the behalf of the agent, the corporate fiction Rebecca, to spell in all uppercase, and I am the living fiction breathing. I am not one and the same. This is how everyone should have gone into court and identify themselves. But instead, you went in there and said, I'm the corporate fiction, and they go, oh, thank you very much. You are now liable for all the damages that you have done. You say, wait a minute, I didn't do anything. They said, we don't care, but you just admitted to it. Now, Constitution says you should not be prosecuted for self-incriminating yourself, but you did. And they used it against you. And you went along with it because you didn't know none the wiser. So this is how they lure you into that system. So the way you should have gone in there is saying, I'm here on a restricted appearance or a special appearance. I am the agent, or I am the living blood. I'm here to respond on behalf to settle this issue with the corporate fiction spell in all uppercase. And you say that name. But you forgot to tell them that you and that are not one and the same. That's another that's a missing element in most conversations. And then the second thing that most people should have gone into court with, it's an administrative remedy. You can't go into that place unless, of course, you exhausted all your administrative remedies. Other than that, if you're going to utilize that corporation, you should have gone in there with some forms. And I'm going to tell you, when you have to go into that court system from now on, how you want to turn things around, because I'm just going to jump ahead, speed ahead, because I want to talk about some other two issues. I want to talk about IRS and I want to talk about trust. When you go into that system, you should have company forms, 1040. There's four different types. There's several different types of 440, 1040 forms, B, ES, and several others. Because what's happening is the court took out a bond on you. They've already accessed 10% of that. So if the police officers stop you for, say, a rolling stop sign, you signed this bond. You didn't protest it before it got into the court system, which you have should have turned the ticket, which is a bond, that the law enforcement, whoever that claimed to be, gave it to you. You didn't send it back to them and say, I refuse to accept your offer of contract. You didn't send it back under Regulation Z. So now you have to go into their system and clear up that whole matter. So now you have to go into their territory, their vessel, and then you have to declare yourself an orphanage and that the rice that's behind you is at the door and you're game. I mean, you're at their mercy. So what you have to do is clarify some issues why you came there, and you have to safeguard yourself while you're in their jurisdiction, but you didn't know, none the wiser. So what you've got to go into these systems with courts to protect yourself, and there's taxes because you are a corporation, because your name is spelled in all uppercase, because you are a Sesequia Trust. And because of that, they are holding you liability before the bond that they've taken out, because they are getting paid for the state. So which means what they're doing is a profit. They're extorting from the state, and you should be helping the state to go after them for that. But you haven't done that, because what you should have been doing is reporting this to the IRS on their forms called 3949A, 1040B, which is a voucher, and other documents, and form 211 into the court system, letting them know that, hey, by the way, you was here on a restricted appearance, you identify yourself properly, and therefore you've turned to the judge and asked him to settle this matter because he was appointed the trustee. So the other thing you can do is when you go into the courts and the judge says State versus Rebecca, and you get up and say I'm restricted appearance, and the judge says, well, I need you to properly identify yourself, and you go, I'm an agent for Rebecca, and the judge will say, is Rebecca in the court? And you can say, yes, you.
Can you point you. To the judge?
Yes, to the yes. judge, because he is the trustee of Rebecca, not you.
Exactly. Yes.
And so, in a way, lots of people should start referring to themselves and their all cap names and themselves only as the agents in all administrative scenarios and all dealings. You should
that's
be dealing
right.
through the signature.
Exactly. And that's how you should be identifying. So when you go into their courts, you know, I go over this when I teach his classes, and this is where, you know, Tamara and many others have come to my class, and they've learned extensively about how to do this properly without no confrontational. And it's beautiful because your remedy is actually in their record. If you just, it's the way you present it, and the way I show you how to present it, they become your best friends. Actually, you're not an enemy anymore. And the best one who's going to become your best friend is the IRS. I'll show you how to make the IRS your best friend. That's what Bill Clinton did when he got into, everybody knows Bill Clinton. Everyone knows that when Bill Clinton got pissed off, all he did was went to the IRS and they just ordered your books. That's what he would do. So he became best friends. And the best thing about the IRS, they pay you 30%. They pay you 30% of finder's fee.
For what? Reporting the judges?
Hey, helping them to balance the books.
Yes, anyone.
To balance the books. You're basically helping them in all. Okay, let me explain something about the IRS. Let me go into the finish up with the courts. When you go into the courts, you should have those forms in front of you to fill it out to send to the IRS when you leave there. Because what the court has attempted to do is to access your account through what they call long-term care. This is why when you go into the court system, they put you on probation, or they amend you to psychiatric wards, or they put you in prison. They're accessing your account through a long-term care bond. When they do that, they're siphoning money out of that account. Okay, now if you understand trust, okay, it's a defunct trust because a trust, the beneficiary need to know who was the grantor, and the beneficiary needs to know who the protector and the trustees are. And this sets of course a trust. It's not a proper trust in the first place. You don't know who the grantor is, and then they did a switch of bait on you, had you to sign, turn around, make you the trustee, and then they are the beneficiaries in court in their building. That's what they've done. So now you're holding the liability, so they get to rape this account through long-term care. IRS comes after you and say, you owe taxes, damn it. I want out taxes. I want my money. I want it now. And you're thinking, well, you can't tax income. They're not taxing you for your income. You are a corporation. You haven't paid your taxes. You are being paid by the state. You are a state employee. You are a federal employee. You have made a profit. You have excised 15 bars in the last 1 year, and we want you to pay the penalties or the tax consequences of that. Do you get it? Corporation has to pay taxes, and you're not exempt until you can rebut that by correcting your status and standing. Now, let's get into status and standing. This is why you're being taxed. That's why you're being penalized through the court system. And not only to mention, you were stowaway. You came onto their vessel. You didn't have proper documentation, and you didn't have proper representation either. So that's why nothing that you say works. It doesn't matter. You got a disparate non-debent John Day going on because the similar things are not to be joined. So whatever laws that applies to them, they're null and void, because when you have a breaching of a contract, you cannot, what they've done is you can't compel the other person to, you know, to compel to performance. There's a breaching of contract. It's null and void. So what that means to say, if you believe that the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the federal rules of procedure applies to them, it doesn't, because they have a dissimilar things. They cannot proceed with procedure because there's a mixed match here. They're playing chess and you're playing checkers. There's no meeting of the minds here. So all you are is aggravating them on their soil, in their territory, and they're pissed about it. And you're arguing about something that you have no idea what you're doing. So you're incompetent. You're a ward of the state, and you're an enemy. So there are many facets to this, is why nothing that you do in court, just simply don't go there. But if you must go there, I can show you why, how you should go there and how you should properly interact with them, because there's a proper way of doing it. None the wiser, and you're thinking, well, gee, why weren't we told all of this? Well, you need to go back into 1933 as to why that happened. And unfortunately, we don't have that kind of time, so what you have to do is start from fresh. Start from today. If you got to go there with paperwork in hand that you're going, you need to report that. You need to help the IRS to your account, to adjust the accounting, because they're accessing your account, your sesequicidal trust, that you're not benefiting from. They are. There are taxes on it. If you get into trust, beneficiary, no trust pays for the tax. It's a pass-through entity. The beneficiary pays the taxes on the end. This is why you must pay the penalties and the fees and all the taxes associated with your case. You have created more debt, and you're not even owning up to it. So what you have to do is tell the IRS somebody has accessed your account other than you, and here's the paperwork to support that. Suddenly, you're going to have a different case when you go to court, when judges need to see that you're going to report their illegal activities, because all the each of their agency needs to do, they need you to help them to make sure that everybody gets a piece of the same pie. They all agreed to be pirates. What they all didn't agree is one of them taking more of their share. And you can make it to your benefit. Unfortunately, nothing about the court system is about trying your trying facts or law or truth. It's all about money, and it's all about war prizes. That's what it is, because the court is the administrator of your trust that you're pushing around their document. The bar member is the trustee. And until you know the roles, what they are, you're not going to get the sufficient win that you need. You shouldn't be there in the first place if you claim to be sovereign. Everything should have been done through a notary or through the mail. And if you can't access a notary, then you use a register or a certified mailer, and that acts as a third-party interloper. And if you notice that everything they do is with a third-party interloper. This is why you're not having any success in recording any of your documents in the county, in the state, in their courts, whether state or federal, because flesh and paper are not to be combining. You need someone that's neutral, because they're fiction, which is public, and you're private. They have to have someone neutral that everyone has agreed to. Like all countries agreed that Switzerland is a neutral ground territory. No one's to ever war there. Because Switzerland, well, everybody knows what Switzerland really is. So everybody knows they agreed to hide their money there. Mm-hmm. So everybody will do everything they can to protect what? Switzerland. So you need to do the same thing. And so now, I talked to judges about status and standing. Many judges told me status and standing is everything. Because until you can prove that you are not a slave of theirs, you must pay your taxes. You must do that's required of you. Until you can prove otherwise, you are a product of theirs. And how you do that is coming out of the matrix. Then coming out of the matrix, meaning you must give everything back to them. You must take that driver's license. You must hand it in. That passport, United States passport, that insurance that's on your car, the license plate that's on your car, the house that you have, everything that is in uppercase, you must surrender that, and you must create your own. Now you say how to do that. You must do an affidavit of truth. You must declare who you really are. Let it season. Know that you are a policymaker, and when there's a policymaker, you then create your own documents. You put forth and you record those documents. You record your own birth certificate. You create your own ID, and you record that, and you run with that. You create your own passport, and then you get into a trust organization. You get in a trust, because when you have a trust, you need an organization that's behind you that allows you to do that. When you see how they operate badly. Whether they're on duty or off duty. Police officers act badly whether they're on duty or off duty. Why? They have an entire organization behind them called the police department and the police association. Judges, they've been misbehaved on the bench and off the bench. And what they say they have behind them, the court system, employees of any city or municipality, whether they're on duty or off duty, they behave badly. And what do they have still behind them protecting them? Their counties, their cities, their state. You need an organization that you can do the same. You need to be a governing body. You need to show that you need to operate through commerce. And the only way you can navigate is having an entity that they respect and they acknowledge. That makes to say an organization of like kind. And the only thing that is of like kind is either running in a trust or a foundation.
So what if we got a whole bunch of people to go into a trust that are all notaries?
You can be anything you want inside of a trust. I mean, it's a great idea to have. Certainly, you want to have notaries as part of your team, because the beauty about a trust, and let me go into the trust a little bit. The beauty about the trust is that it has an enormous amount of flexibility. First and foremost, let's talk about irrevocable trust. We have a dynasty trust, an empire trust, a mega trust, a super trust, a senator trust, and they're all bulletproof. Okay, there cannot be penetratable. Irrevocable family trust, common law, private contract trust has the same. And when you do that, every member of that trust has to govern themselves accordingly. So if you are an officer of that trust, you cannot participate in rally. You cannot participate in political parties. You cannot do any comment reviews about one particular party over another. You have to stay entirely neutral to the whole gamut, because after all, they are public and you are now operating out of the private. The one thing about the trust is that it can operate in the public, but it can keep all its affairs private. You can still operate in commerce because commerce have agreed that we must have a neutral party here. We must have a neutral ground, and we recognize another creation of our own, whether it be a foundation or C corporation or S corporation or a trust. Nothing gives you the bulletproof like a trust. The C corporation doesn't. LLC can be penetration, an S corporation, and certainly a charitable and a nonprofit organization. And if you notice that everything around us, all these mega businesses, these monopolies, these conglomerate businesses are empires, and they're family owned. They're family controlled, either under a foundation or under a trust. And when you have a trust, it limits the intrusion of the public, meaning they have no mandatory reporting requirements to any of the statutory agencies. No court order anywhere can order you to turn over the files to the courts or any agency. None. Because it comes under the international treaty of the trust that all the countries have agreed to be uniformity. And they agreed that we can operate in commerce under the style manual. And a trust is a style manual that everybody has come together and agreed upon that they can access the water using the three identifying mark that makes them a friendly vessel that allows them to navigate through the waters and go about doing their business. And the trust allow you to do that. It protects the officers against any frivolous lawsuit, protects the trust. It's a pass-through entity. You don't have to pay any taxes. It completely bypasses probate. It allows the inheritance to stay in the family. It protects the assets. You can build wealth. You can build perpetual wealth from generation to generation. It can be passed down through the family. And most importantly, you controlled everything, own nothing. So there's nothing that the pirates want to take. They can't take it because it's not an identifying mark for any of them to take. So when a pirate board the ship, meaning the IRS wants to see the trust indentures. And as long as that it is done properly, the IRS look at it and say, okay, we got no business here. And they cannot come back and review those paperwork ever again. And as a matter of fact, if you are operating a trust out of a particular office and the FBI should come to the door, you have a right to not even open your door to them. You can say, I'm sorry, this is a private business. If you need to speak with any of us, we'll meet you down the street. And not only that, no one person is responsible. So the entire trust can say, well, there's 15 trustees, and we all have to agree that we want to turn over information to any agency that's outside of our private jurisdiction. That's the beauty about it. But everybody has to be governing themselves. As a matter of fact, the trust themselves have an enforcing powers. You don't even have to access their courts. Let's say if you enter in a contract with a subcontractor and they've breached a contractual agreement to you. You don't need to access their courts. And let me tell you that. The courts will tell you, I'm sorry, you need to find a way to resolve that because there's only one court on American soil that can hear trust issues, and that is the courts of chancery or the Supreme Courts. Any other courts are inferior. They cannot hear trust matters. This is what makes this whole foreclosure. There's no way that any bank should be foreclosing on any property, especially in America, when it's in a trust. And yet, the reason why they're doing it, because it is not a properly constructed trust. It's a defunct trust like your Sesequessa Vio trust is. If you knew that your trust, the corporation, the paperwork that you're pushing around for them is defunct, you don't have to adhere to any of their laws. Now, let me give you another clue. Remember, let's go back to 1933. They took away our ability to pay debt. They stole lawful money. Without lawful money, you don't have any laws. How can you enforce a statute that is not enforceable?
So the police officer is telling you that I'm giving you a ticket because you didn't stop at the red light. Well, I'm sorry. That says the law. What law are we talking about? We don't have any law for money. How can you enforce a law? You get this?
Yeah.
Are you people getting this?
Oh, we're getting it.
You're going to court. You're arguing them. You're making them come alive when they're fiction and dead. You're alive, and you're arguing frivolous stuff. And you're making them come alive. You're giving them controversy. You're an enemy. You're an enemy. They ain't looking at anything. They're just saying, you're an enemy. You're on our side. We get to do whatever we want. Look at the pirates, you know, the Caribbeans of the Caribbeans of the pirates. Go back
pirates
to
the
that.
Caribbean.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Go back to that. They're telling you all of it. Look at all of the series on that. And they're telling you for you what this really is.
We are at the bottom of the half hour. We've gone a half hour over the show. Deborah, this has been an absolutely special show. You are a superstar. We have got to have you come back on another show and go even deeper and deeper into this. I know you didn't even get into the IRS, but we want to have you back right away.
Yes.
Great. I'd love to come back.
Well, we love it when you talk like this. I mean, you're talking our language.
Yes.
No contract in your voice.
And all of this information that we have been putting on this show for the last, 12 weeks now. We've been talking about the War Crimes Act. We've been talking about how our property and ourselves have been conscripted for the use of the corporations and all of the things that we have been telling you. Well, then Deborah has just done an excellent job of pulling this down into ways that, hey, you're going to have to start paying attention here. So Deborah, just absolutely fabulous what you brought to us tonight. And we'll really look forward to that. We'll go ahead and get another show set up right away. And we'll make sure that you know how to get in touch with Deborah. She does do classes. She is doing some now that, like Tamara said, she's already involved in. So we'll be sure that you get this information. You can email me, rebecca@humanitad.org. You can get into our Adventures into Sovereignty, info@adventuresintosovereignty.org. We can get this information to you. And we'll also have some on the YouTube as this information goes out so that you'll be able to get in touch with us a little bit more. Or if you have questions, or if you want to get more detailed information. And we just thank Tamara for being here as part of our show tonight. And Deborah, we will definitely announce that. Do we just want to go ahead? We can work this out for next week. If that will work for you all, we'll just go ahead and say, hey, this was just too good. We want to continue this
Absolutely.
For next week because there are so many people who are going to want to go deeper into what you're doing here. So if we can do that, we'll confirm. And everybody just really stay tuned because we will continue with this immediately so that you'll have more of that information.
And I just have to plug her really quickly, and not because I like her, because I do. I love her. But the information is so rich, and you think this is deep. Wait till you take her class. Just wait. Because, you can't believe, like, the layers of onions that you pull back. I mean, the layer upon layer off of that onion that you will pull back. And then when you get at the end of it, it is a seed that you want to plant because we are all growing into our sovereignty. We are all growing into our adulthood and learning what it is to self-govern, learning what it is how to be with each other, to be responsible, yet be in limitlessness as well. So, Deborah, I thank you for everything that you've done, and I can't wait to bring more people to you.
Well, thank you for your comments. It's always a pleasure.
So, Deborah, do you have a website or an email address you'd like to give out to the people?
Email. I don't have a website yet. I haven't gotten around to it. I've been so busy, and I've been working on it for years and years and years and years, and you know, I keep forgetting to do it. And you know, I've had many people that say we want to do it, and I haven't given them a contest so they can put it together. But perhaps
just an email.
email. Let me think. I've got several accounts. Okay, let's go with, I just, you know, it just, here's the thing with my email. I'd rather people call me because I can fill out the questions. I'm not particularly good with giving out emails because I just don't want people to, you know, saturate me with nonsense. People call me and they, you know, and I have to sit there and I've got to read 100 emails. So why don't we just do with a phone call? And that way it helps me to fill people out. Or if people want to get in contact with me, they can go through Tamara. And then Tamara can say, hey, someone contacted me. Are you open to me giving them your address? I'd rather do it that way. I just don't want to open myself up right now at this point with the email. But I can give them a public number. They can call me. I can fill them out. And if I choose to go an extra step with them, then I can do so. But I just don't – I will be bombarded if I do that at this point in junction right now until we do our second calling.
Okay. You want to give out your number then?
Yeah, sure. Area code 323-642-8277. And I don't worry about people, you know, trying to abuse that because I can always shut that down. So I don't have a problem with that. And people have been enormously respectful when I have given out the number. And so I haven't had much abuse, but when I give them my emails, people just send me documents or documents says, hey, I sent this to you. Did you read it? Well, no, I got 50 other emails that I got to read, and there's like thousands of pages. So I don't want that.
That I understand. Yeah. That I understand. Anyway, so we are coming at the end of the show here. Rebecca, any last words?
Well, I tell you what, this just makes my heart sing because truthfully, this is what this is all about. We want people to have the knowledge and we want people to know what to do about it. And that's what Deborah has brought onto this show tonight. So we thank you, Deborah. We look forward to taking this to another level and we look forward to making sure that you have this information. That's why we're here. That's why we do these shows. That's why we reach out and are willing to share this information because it's the kind of thing that we have learned and we want you to know. So thank you for joining us tonight and be sure to tune in for each of the shows on Friday evenings as we bring them to you.
And I want to thank Deborah and Tamara and Rebecca and everyone at bbsradio.com, that mega station that's there. All right, Doug, why don't you take us to some music, and we are going to end this show for tonight with a positive upbeat as we have starting to look at this fraud and getting to understand it even deeper.